sunshine yesterday, so at least there was some outside the window.
I got to run and get my lab notebook.
Yeah, in the sunshine. Yeah, that was a good thing.
I think it's either in the Linux. I think it's in the Linux lab, but it might still be in the lab.
Uh huh. Well, hopefully you find it. Can't trust your lab partners these days, huh? Well, we probably ought to start. We need to think about an exam sometime, probably after we're done with this chapter 5 or 4. I don't know. I'm lazy. I don't want an exam either, but, but I know if I don't do it, you guys won't learn it, right? Unless you're significantly different from all my other students. You guys are all remarkable, right? So anyway, we need to think about it. I think on the syllabus it's scheduled for Monday, but that's likely too soon for you. So. Yeah, what's happening this weekend?
Super Bowl.
Oh, Super Bowl. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so wouldn't want to mess up with the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it's probably what, Seattle is playing or something?
Yeah.
And so everybody here is all like, yeah, rah, rah, huh? Who's the other team? Oh, yeah, and that's still a Western team, so probably a bunch of people rooting for them, too.
They're all wrong, so.
Top team in the NFC West versus the top team in the AFC West.
Uh-huh.
Kansas City
was
so close.
Sorry.
Yeah, well. So anyway, probably we need to think about when we want the exam next week sometime, probably. I don't know. Is next week a bad time?
I
would
be okay with Friday.
Next Friday? Well, when is Engineers Week? That's not next week, is it?
No, it's not till the week that has the 18th in it.
Yeah, okay. So, right, I don't want to do it that week, because I'll get some grief from people who are trying to sell expensive tickets to the banquet. So, is Friday okay? I mean, Hillary thinks that's okay. But what about the rest of you guys?
Friday?
Right, next Friday? A week from today?
Yeah.
We don't have embedded next week. I think I'll be out of town.
Oh.
It's Thursday. I'll be able to study.
Yeah.
I already got stuff on Monday morning.
Okay, well, let's just say Friday then, huh? Next Friday. And it will cover chapters 1 through 4. Whoops, through 4. That's ugly. There we go. Okay, well, last day we were looking at this thing at the end of class called a common collector amplifier or an emitter follower. Here, Austin, here's the bad news. Don't miss this. And, you know, what it looked like was, I like to think of it as a magnifier glass. You know, it's actually, it's kind of like rose-colored glasses because if you think about it, there's this skinny man over here. Here he is, you know, a skinny man. And he's trying to flex his muscles here. There's a tiny little bump there, right? You can hardly see it, but, you know, where we have this big magnifying glass here, right? And in the magnifying glass, you know, it looks like Armstrong here, right? And over here, this is the load resistor. It's, you know, 50 ohms or whatever. That's this dude right here, right? And so, you know, when the magnifying glass is this thing right here. And so here's the load resistor. This is the and this goes up to VCC here. And then over here, you know, over here actually there's this lady here. And really, she's kind of big and fat here. But that's the source resistance here. Here's VS, RS, large. Okay. And so what I'd like to do is, last day we did this direction, looking in, we see this guy's muscles here. He's just great. This RL became, you know, beta plus one times RL. I mean, times RL, right? Big, 100 times bigger, man. So big, big difference. Now we got to do the other way and see what this dude right here sees looking backwards, okay? Does that make sense? And hopefully these rose-colored glasses here, you know, rose-colored magnifying glass, special, you know, rose-colored glasses here. You know, they're going to make compatibility, I hope. So let's looking back from the load side. From the load side, looking back in, we have this. You know, kind of, this is my crude small signal model here. Here was the load resistor, right? I'm going to take him out and look in that way. This is beta IB. And I'm just going to say, I'm going to say R pi is essentially zero for my approximation. This is the emitter here. This is now the base. And the base has a source resistor, RS, going to ground when I turn off VS here to measure the impedance looking backwards, right? And this current right here is little I sub little b, right? So I just have a little Thevenin problem I want to do here, right? So if I put a voltage on here, I put V here, and if I measure I in right there, what's this going to be? This is going to be R out. R out will equal V over I, right? The ratio of V to I. And V is obviously just, well, let's see. V is equal to, it would be the current going this way times RS. So it's minus IB times RS, right? And this guy goes up here to ground. We got him. So I is equal to minus beta plus 1 times IB, because I've got IB here and beta IB there. So what's going out that way is beta plus 1 IB, right? And so now I do the V divided by I, and this will give me RS over beta plus 1, right? So, you know, when this guy looks back through the magnifying glass, you know, he sees, very bewitching profile here. Yeah, right. So it's like it works both ways. So it's rose-colored glasses. It's better than a magnifying glass, because if you look back through a magnifying glass, you know, it's big the other way too, right? So I don't know, I mean, maybe I shouldn't make this magnifying glasses, this is like rose colored glasses here. I don't know, you know, and for the other guy, you know, this is what she sees, right? And the other way, it's like, wow. I mean, I could redraw the picture somehow, I guess, but you get the idea, right? Okay, so this is a great circuit for making impedances match. And last time we kind of looked at what would happen. We kind of needed this circuit in our case where we had this beautiful amplifier with a gain of minus 200. We thought we were going to get a lot of gain out of it, but we lost because we had a situation here with a voltage divider, and the impedances were, you know, kind of out of whack. This guy was so much lower than that, and out here this was so much lower than that. So we really need two of these circuits, one on either side, right? Does that make sense? And so, you know, if you were to use two of these circuits, so on our last day's example. Let's supply two of these circuits, supply this twice. Supply two emitter followers, two CC amplifiers. CC means common collector, it's the same thing as emitter follower. So if we, let's go back and look at the schematic of what we had and see if we can figure out how to add those. So here was our schematic, right? So while you're thinking about that, I'll try and redraw the schematic. C large, and then we had thing kind of like this, and then there was some bias resistors I needed here. So this was like R1 and R2. And now, I mean, I could put the capacitors on here because, you know, those things are really for the input and output. They're to not in the insides. They're their interface to the outside world, right? So we could probably just put something like this. We do need to check and make sure that we haven't, you know, made some transistor go out of the active region. Okay, so here's one for the input. We'll check that, and here's one on the output. Maybe I'll scoop PCC over just a tad. Pull it and grab him. Oh, excuse me, man. So, here's our load resistor now. C large. Yeah, we're going to have some issues here. C large. And I'll put my input here. So what issues do you see here in this circuit? What's the problem we're going to run into here? We got actually two of them. This probably shouldn't be too much of a problem here on that right here, but there's a problem over here and there's a problem over here. It's kind of like the same problem in some ways. So what is the problem? Something's not going to work. there's no place for DC current.
Right.
There's no place for DC current. So we could either put a current source in here. That would be probably the best thing to do. So I'm just going to put a current source there. We still don't know how to do that, but we could put a resistor there if you wanted. Problem with that, putting the resistor there, is it's this resistor then in parallel with that guy right there. That's kind of bad. And this one right here, we also could put a current source here, although this current is so small here, I'm just going to put a resistor up to there. Okay. Because this gives a place for DC base current to flow. If there's no resistor here, DC can't flow through the capacitor. And so I wouldn't get any capital I sub capital B there, and so the transistor would be in cutoff. And the same thing would happen over here. There's no place for DC current to go down through the transistor, so it would be in cutoff. This is actually quite a lot of current here. This is a very little current, but you still need it. Right, there would be no, the AC would happen. I mean, when this guy went positive, it would turn on the transistor for the top half of the cycle, but not the bottom half. It would give you a clipped wave. So. Yeah, sometimes there are possibly some times you might want a clipped wave. Usually people use diodes for that, but you can also use this. But. But with these modifications, this should work. And then we really need to think about how to do this current source. I mean, I feel like I'm handicapped until I can start putting these current sources in here. I mean, we did a cheesy one with a resistor last time, right? I mean, actually, it was actually this resistor right here, this RE. We put that in there, RE, using VCC and RE, a Thevenin source to make a Norton source, which is, almost like a current source if RE was pretty large. But I would have liked to put a current source there too, right? So let's just think about this. We really need to build a current source. So how could we build a current source? What kind of device would you expect us to be able to use? I mean, we've got enough devices now. We got diodes and transistors. I mean, a transistor is kind of like a current amplifier, right? A current amplifier. I mean, even this common emitter, common collector amplifier that we got over here, you put a little current in here, you get a lot of current down there, right? And with this, this four resistor bias network, we found out we were kind of regulating the current, going through here. But if we could fix the voltage across this resistor, it would regulate the current, if we fix the voltage across this resistor, it would fix the voltage across this, because this is 0.7 volts here. And then if we fix the voltage across that resistor, that would make the emitter current fixed at some value, right? Which then the collector current is going to be beta over beta plus 1 times that, or almost equal to it, right? Yeah, so let's see if we can do this here. So we got this transistor. I'm going to put emitter resistor right here, RE. And then I want essentially a voltage source right here. Right? And then I need to make a place, I guess current could come in there, that would be okay. And then I put my load up here. And then I put VCC right here. And now the voltage across here is I'll call this VB. This would be VB minus 0.7, right? That makes sense? And so the current going down here is VB minus 0.7 divided by what? RE, yeah. Okay, and so that's going to be fixed. It didn't depend on the load. This is IE equals and the current here is IC, which is beta IB, and IB is equal to, IE equals beta plus 1 times IB, right? And so if I solve for IB here, I get IB equals IE over beta plus 1. And so I put that in there and I get beta over beta plus 1 times IE, right? Because IE over beta plus 1 is IB. And IE is equal to this. So I got beta over beta plus 1 times BB minus 0.7 divided by RE, right? Which has nothing to do with what I put in for the load. It's independent. It's a current source, right? It's going to suck that amount of current through there all the time, no matter what, right? Does that make sense? And beta over beta plus 1 is approximately 1. You know, this guy right here is approximately 1 because it's like 100 over 101, you know, that's like mighty close to 1. Yeah. So that's great. So I've converted a voltage source into a current source with this transistor. Now what I'd like to do is I'd like to get rid of that voltage source. Because you see that voltage source is another complicated thing I'm going to have in there. This guy has to be smaller than VCC, right? Otherwise my whole thing. And actually this thing only works over a range such that this voltage right here has to be higher than that voltage and this guy right here has to be higher than that voltage, right? Does that make sense? So there's what they call a compliance range. It acts like a current source as long as the voltage across this load doesn't get to be too big, right? When it gets to be too big, then the thing quits. It doesn't work like a current source anymore, you know? So, Carlos.
So where would the current going out, this device right here, be going?
Well, it's gonna go like through like this. There's a VCC power supply, goes around like this, so it goes like this. That's the loop. So how could we replace this VB with something handier than a voltage source? That is, acts like a voltage source. Yeah, but I'd really like to make sure this stays right, you know, at the same kind of value. If I put a resistor in a VCC, then this voltage will go up and down and I won't get this benefit of this thing being VB being a constant there, right? I need VB to be a constant. But I like your idea. I think you're working your way around to what we need here. Yeah, maybe. If I put something like this. So if I put a thing, this isn't an ideal diode. This would be 0.7 volts across here, right? Now, if I did 0.7 volts, that would leave 0 volts left across that RE, right? Ah, yes, excellent. And actually, two diodes is kind of optimum because, you see, that leaves 0.7 volts across RE. That keeps all this stuff down as low as we can get. This base voltage is at 1.4 volts. If I did 5 diodes or a Zener diode or something in here that had more voltage here, then it wouldn't work as well, right? The compliance range would be cut short, right? And so, you know, you want VCC here to be really big if you can. And then you get your, this resistor doesn't really matter what value it is, a little bit, because if you make it really small, you'll make it more than 0.7 volts across those diodes. You'll be wasting a lot of heat and so on, but But if you, you know, as long as 100K works good, whatever. Right? Well, no, I mean, really, you got to realize that some things, you know, you can just put any old thing in there and it'll work, right? You know? It's kind of like, it happens, the same kind of stuff happens in mechanical stuff, too, you know? You know, you could put a brick over here and it would hold my pen, but it would also hold, you know, probably, you know, a car or something, right? And it's the same brick. You don't need a different brick for either one, you know. It was still, either one would hold it up, right? So anything works, right? Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I kind of understand where you're coming from, because when I was really a young kid, I used to read these magazines. In the old days, they would have magazines. They didn't have the internet like you guys have today. They would have magazines, and people that knew more what they were doing than I would publish little articles in these magazines, how you could make little circuits that would do this, that, and the other thing, right? And, you know, it always happened that when I wanted to make one of those little circuits, you know, I'd go down, they'd have an electronics store downtown in Anchorage, Alaska, where I live, and you could go in there, and the guys that worked at the store, they knew more about electronics than I did, but, you know, they still didn't know very much about it, but, you know, they would, I'd come in with my parts list, my bill of materials, you know, and I want, you know, this transistor and this resistor and all this stuff. You'd solder them all together, and a lot of times I couldn't make it work, and I always blamed it on the store guys, because, you know, they'd always substitute a different transistor. Well, now that I've grown up and I know these things a lot more, I know who to blame it on. It was me. I probably didn't hook it up right. And you know, if you look around in lab, you know, you guys are hooking stuff up right. How often is it that the transistor is bad, or it's a wrong transistor or something? No, it's always, you just made some little mistake in wiring it, but I didn't realize that was what was really going on. If I'd just been a little bit, you know, known a little more, then I would have checked over my work a little more carefully and figured out, oh, I soldered this thing on the wrong end, or I put the transistor in backwards, or, you know, I did something, right? But anyway. So, don't feel bad, you know. We'll put 100K here. Or whatever you like. Whatever's handy. 10K works. Probably even a mega ohm works, whatever. It doesn't matter too much. And so, in this case, you know, this current right here is approximately equal to 0.7 volts divided by RE. That's what the current is going through there. So, And I use this current source all the time. This is actually my favorite current source. There's actually some other current sources that are used sometimes, and actually more commonly in like integrated circuits. And the reason they would use those circuits in integrated circuits are they don't like this 100K resistor here. The reason they don't like the 100K resistor is because, you remember, resistance equals like rho, the resistivity, times the length of the resistor divided by A, right? So in order to make a really big resistor, you got to have a really long resistor, right? Or you got to have a really small area, but usually, you know, you get down to a small area and that's, so what happens is your whole IC is this resistor snaking around like this, you know, because they can't get the resistivity down low enough, you know, because it's doped some certain way. And so to make a resistor of 100K, it might take up your whole IC. So, you know, they don't like this too well, but this works really wonderfully for our little discrete stuff in lab. And it's actually much better than some of the circuits they use in integrated circuits, because they have other problems that make them not work so well in a discrete world. One of them we'll look at a little later is called a current mirror, and it has this problem. I don't know if you guys noticed when you did your homework problem on those two parallel diodes. You know, one of the diodes was carrying a lot more current than the other one because it was a little hotter, right? Did you notice that? And so what happens in the real world is that if you have a discrete parts, okay, then they're not thermally coupled together. But if they're on the same integrated circuit, they're pretty much all at the same temperature. And so, you know, when you put two diodes in parallel, if they're on the same integrated circuit, then probably they'll have similar currents. But if they are on different circuits, then they won't have different currents because one will be hotter than the other one, okay? And what happens is it's worse than you think, because that diode that was 5 degrees hotter, it sucked more current, right? And so it's going to get warmer, right? And it gets warmer and warmer and warmer, and pretty soon it goes into what they call thermal runaway, and it burns up, okay? And that's the kind of problem that happens with this current mirror that, you know, very famous circuit used in all kinds of ICs. Works okay in ICs because they all kind of stay the same temperature. But it doesn't work too well when you build it in the streets.
Do they use diodes in motherboards?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm, sure.
What does it look like?
Well, most of the components on a motherboard nowadays are built inside. They're inside little plastic chips that they're like this, you know, with a million leads on the outside or a brawl mount, you know. So, I don't know. I mean, I got a motherboard upstairs in my office. I could look around and maybe find one. But they're surface mount components. And usually a surface mount component would be a tiny little thing with two leads on it, and there'll be a bar across one side, so it'll look kind of like this, you know, if you look at it. And there'll be a kind of a white bar across like that, and a little tiny lead here and a little tiny lead there. You know, this is magnified, you know, many times. You know, does that make sense? Anyway, yeah, there's some diodes, some surface mount diodes upstairs in the projects lab. There's a cart over there with a whole bunch of reels on it, with surface mount resistors. And maybe some of you guys used some of those parts back in intro or something. If you go over there and look on there, you'll see some diodes, and they look kind of like this. You know. And if you had a discrete diode on the motherboard, it would definitely be a surface mount part, and it would be something like that. But most of the diodes are inside the chip. So now we have a beautiful current source, and we can hook that current source in there. Okay, so let me erase this guy right here, and I want you to help me hook this current source in to run this guy. Okay, so I'm just going to redraw this part of the circuit right here, and you're going to help me do it. So here's the current source. This is the common collector or emitter follower, right? Coming down like this. Here's the, you know, the capacitor C large, and now this is VCC. Now I need you to help me hook up that source over here on this thing so that you actually got your current source like we need it in there.
Are we just drawing this part of that?
I'm just drawing just this transistor right here of this. I didn't want to draw the whole thing, you know. I mean, you know, you can kind of think of like this. It's a cutaway, right? Something, I don't know. Anyway, I'm just kind of, maybe I could draw something coming out here, and you can kind of see that. Right, so I cut this out, right? And I cut it out over here. I cut the load off. And now, but I need to have current sucked down there. So how do I hook that circuit that we just came up with? How do I hook it into this thing here to make it act like that current source there? This is the load? Greg says this is the load. Okay, that's right, it is the load. So then I just hook this guy onto this thing right here, right? Put my RE in down here, right? And then I'm going to have my two diodes, thanks to Hillary here. Oh, yeah, okay. Carlos got one of them. Yeah. VCC. So, and this is the 100K resistor here. Right? Does that make sense? So, this is hooking up the current source. Yeah, right. I'm getting an idea what your next lab is going to look like, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you're right, you know, it does get complicated really fast, and now you're beginning to see why, you know, the guy from Texas who invented the integrated circuit, you know, did a really good thing, you know. It's kind of nice to have all that all together in one big thing. Okay, so we did some examples here. I'm thinking maybe the next best thing to do, there's other examples we could do. Plenty of fun stuff that we could show you with the submitter follower and all the other circuits we've got now. But you got this exam coming up next week, so maybe I ought to get you thinking about that, okay? So let's just go. What I'd like to do then is let's look at an old exam here. Right here. Okay, so here's an old exam. So let's just pretend we've got this exam to do here. It says here, you know, no cheat sheets allowed, basically. I know. I mean, I'm changing my policies somewhat, but let's look at this thing. Oh, hey, is this our friend or not? Yeah. This is not so bad, right? I mean, oh, okay, so it says find RC, so at least one of the transistors is on the border between the saturation and active region. Which transistor or transistors are on the border? So, the border of saturation. So what is the border of saturation and active? Okay, that's what we're looking for, right? What denotes that border? It's in my book. No, remember, it was very easy, right? We had this little table, right? You know, there was the base emitter junction and the collector base junction, right? Right? We could do this. So active was forward biased, right? Collector was reverse biased for active. This is active, right? And then saturation was, saturation was both forward biased, right? So what's the difference between, what would be on the border? Yeah, so this would be zero biased. The collector base junction would be zero biased, right? So that means, either this junction is zero biased or that junction is zero biased, right? And we're supposed to come up with RC that will do that, right? So, you know, this thing is a current source right here. We just kind of figured that out. That's a current source, and the current is 0.7 volts over 2K, right? So we have, I'll just call it IE2. Equals 0.7 volts over 2K. And really, the current coming in here is approximately the current here, right? You agree? Now this is 0.7 volts over here. So so we know what the current coming down through RC is, right? Now as we make RC bigger, it's going to make this voltage here. Well, it's going to make this voltage bigger, right? Which is going to shrink this VCE here, right? And the current coming down here, what's that current coming in there? Yeah, that's IB, and what's that going to be? That's going to be the same current, basically, that comes out down here, approximately divided by beta, right? The beta's 100, right? I don't know, maybe I need to write this thing here. Let's just draw the schematic. Can't really explain it without having a schematic. So I got, this is 200K. And this is RC. And this is 20 volts. 200K. And this guy right here goes down to the other transistor. Goes down to, this was 2K, this was 0.7 volts across here, right? Because there was two diodes here. So this was 1.4 volts, and this went up to this guy. which was 20K. Okay, so these guys are definitely biased on these diodes. There's no way they can be any other way, right? Both, this is definitely 1.4 volts. So this is definitely 0.7 volts here. And so the current going here, this current is 0.7 divided by 2K, right? And so this current is approximately 0.7 over 2K. Approximately, okay, makes sense. And so this current coming through here is approximately 0.7 over 2K, right? Okay, and this guy, then the current in here is 0.7 over 100 times 2K, right? And if that current is there, is multiplied by 200, so this is, this voltage right here is 200 divided by 200, right? I mean, it's the voltage equals IR. Here's I and there's R, right? So maybe I gotta write the whole difference here. This is 0.7 over 100 times 2K. Oh, it doesn't look like a 2. 2K. And then times 200K, right? So these guys cancel. So this is 0.7 volts here, right? Agree? Okay, so that's 0.7 volts right there. So this voltage is pretty high right here, right? That leaves... That means that which transistor is going to go into saturation? Top one, right? Because, you know, if this is 0.7 volts here, that means that the max I can have here would be 0.7. So this is, I'll call this VC. VC max would be, 0.7 volts. If this is 0 volts across here, that'd be 0.7 volts, right? 0.7 volts. And that equals RC times this 0.7 divided by 2K, right? So RC equals 2K. Okay. That would be the maximum, and it would be the top transistor. I don't know. The top, this guy goes into saturation. Okay, make sense? So, was that too hard? Okay, well that's good, because the first exam question is supposed to be really easy, right? Because you see, if I ever put a hard exam question, the first question I discovered that blows everything right out the back door. I mean, that just shoots my score for sure. Now the score I get is the average score what everybody else gets, you see. That just totally wipes me out. So I was trying to put an easy question first. But if you see the first question and you don't know how to do it, don't panic, just go to the next one. Maybe I forgot this time. Okay, so anyway, the next question says, draw the schematic diagram of a curve tracer for plotting the IV characteristic of a diode. Give part values that will work. The parts you have available are a dual trace oscilloscope with XY mode, a sinusoidal voltage, or signal, 100,000 hertz signal generator like you built, right? Variable amplitude up to 10 volts, op amps, resistors, capacitors, diodes, transistors, two 15-volt power supplies. The scale on the x-axis should be set so it sweeps minus 1 to 1 volt, and the y-axis should display 1 milliamp per volt on the oscilloscope. Give instructions on how to set up the oscilloscope as well. What do you expect the curve to look like? So that's just like your lab, right? Right. So, well, yeah, you just got done with that lab, but wait till next Friday. By that time, you'll have forgotten it, right? Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, so maybe we just got 3 minutes left. Let's leave that one because I think you all think that's easy, right? Yeah. Okay. So number three here. You're designing a computer-controlled attenuator using a digital to analog converter as the voltage source, V2, in the following diode attenuator. You may assume the diode current is given by the Shockley diode equation with the following parameters. Oh, let's see what those parameters are. Okay, so there it is. So there's the thing. What would be the attenuation be at 0 volts? Okay, well, at 0 volts, you got to take the, you know, figure out what the RD is going to be, right? The little r sub little d, right? Remember, this is the small signal model we're worried about, right? So if there's 0 volts on this thing right here, there'll be 0 volts across this thing DC, right? So the Q point, the quiescent point, is right at zero, right? Now there actually is on the Shockley diode equation, you know, it goes like this and it's starting curving up there at 0 volts, right? So there is a curve on that, right? There's a slope on that thing, so the RD isn't zero, it's not flat there, right? So you take the derivative of this thing right here. Remember, the derivative of this thing evaluated at, in our case, VD equals zero, is going to be 1 over that resistance, right, or the conductance of that diode. And then you make your small signal model for the thing. You'll put this in and that in. You put in a little RD there that's the derivative of this equation right here at that point, VD equals zero, right? And actually, what will that be? If I take the derivative, Q over KT comes down, then I put e to the zero in, and the derivative 1 goes away, right? So I just basically get 1 for the exponential, and I get Q over KT. So it's really I zero over that VT, or the resistance would then be VT 0.026, assuming it's room temperature, divided by I zero, or Q over KT times I zero would be 1 over the resistance, right? So I know I'm going to put that little resistor, RD, in here, right? And then you have to figure out what the voltage is here compared to the voltage over here, I guess, because they want the attenuation. Actually, I think it would be the voltage across here if the diode wasn't there compared to if the diode was there. Because this is a 50-ohm source right here, and this is a 50-ohm load right here. And this is the attenuator we're putting right in the middle, right? So basically, we're kind of shorting things out. And it's not the best attenuator because it doesn't maintain the impedance. When I look in here, it's going to be RD parallel 50 ohms, right? But it'll still turn the voltage down okay. So if you weren't really trying to maintain the impedance, you know, in other words, this 50 ohm, when it looked back this way, it's going to see the RD parallel that 50 ohms, and it's not going to be 50 ohms, you know, it's not going to be matched. The reason you might want matched is if you're looking at, there's waves, you know, you're thinking about this in terms of waves, then there are going to be some reflections going on there. And matched also gives you maximum power transfer and stuff like that. But anyway, so that's how you figure out the attenuation at 0 volts. And I don't know, what else did we ask here? What voltage would you need to set your D to A converter to have 20 dB attenuation? So that's the same kind of a problem, except now we got to find the RD value that gives you 20 dB attenuation. And I guess that's the end of the exam, okay? So do you think you could do that problem? Maybe? No? Better practice. Yeah. What's that?
You can't exactly practice the exam question.
Well, you can practice it. What I used to do is I used to try and guess what the instructor would put on the exam. And so we'd all come down. What we would do is we'd come to the classroom where we had to take the exam, because I don't know about you, but here's what happens to me. If I'm in my office and I think of something I need to get up in the lab, I go up there to the lab, I get there, and I'm standing there in the lab, and I'm wondering, why did I come up here? I know I was supposed to get something, but I can't remember what in the world it was. So I finally give up. I go back to my office. As soon as I get back to my office, just, oh, you dummy, yeah, I needed this. And so then I'll go back up there, and this time I'll usually probably remember it. But if you study in the same room where you're going to take the exam, maybe everything will come rushing back to your mind and you will do better. So we all used to come into the classroom where we would take the exam. And then we would make up problems and we'd try to guess problems like, you know, what Dr. Cross would put on the exam, you know. And we'd, you know, make problems for each other, and we'd all do problems on the whiteboard or blackboard back in those days, you know. So maybe you should do that, you know. Yeah, engineering party. Yeah, we just have these, you know, these things. Which reminds me, engineering party, did you guys want to have a review session for the exam? Yeah. So when is a good time for the review session for the exam? I mean, there's several options. One we can do in class. We could do like, you know, afternoon or evening or something. I don't know. We have to look to Hillary because she has the busiest schedule. Well, Thursday after 6 is getting mighty close to the exam, and the problem with that is that when you find out you don't know what you're doing Thursday afternoon at 6, unless you're a very fast learner, you're going to be in deep trouble, right?
Are you available Tuesday or Wednesday?
I should be, yeah. Or we could do it in exam. I mean, in class, if you want. I don't know. Well, you guys have embedded, right? Or but not next week, right?
No,
not next week.
We still have a project.
We still have to.
Oh, he gave you a lot of stuff to do while he was gone.
Yeah.
What a great guy! I love it. So what do you want? But I don't know. I mean, we could do it. I'm thinking maybe we should do it in class so Hillary can be here, but I don't know.
I'll study anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. More than merrier.
Okay, here's what we'll do. Maybe on Monday in class we'll do another exam, okay? And then on Tuesday, we'll have a review session, okay? So that way, you can get a little more of an idea whether you're ready or not by the exam on Monday, and Hillary will get something. And then on Tuesday, we'll have, you know, a party. Does 5 work, or what? Is that too early?
I could probably show up at 5, actually. I've got a class that gets out then, so.
Really?
I could come for a little while.
Yeah? 5? So let's say review Tuesday at 5 then, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'll write that right here. Review. Yep. Tuesday at 5. Yep.
This might be kind of weird, but I didn't really understand what forward bias and reverse bias.
Well, forward bias is when on the PN junction, the positive side of the voltage, and the more high voltage, is on the P side, and the negative side of the voltage, you know, the N is at lower voltage. So that means that the positive, you know, repels plus charges,
like,
right?
For example,
This is NPN, so here's NPN. So if this is forward bias, that means this guy is higher voltage than that. If this guy is reverse bias, that means that guy is higher voltage than that.
Oh, okay, sorry, now I'm starting to picture it. NPN,
right.
Okay.
This is an NPN. You can kind of remember that because the arrow is pointing out, so it's not pointing in, NPN.
Okay.
A PNP is pointing in, please, PNP.
Okay.
So the PNP would be pointing the arrow that way.
In order for it to be active, the collector and the base have to be reverse biased.
Right.
That's going to get higher
voltage than that. Yes, correct.
Woo. Yes.
Get it.
Yes, excellent.
You would say forward bias and reverse bias in class, and I'd be like,